أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله أحمد وأستعين وأستغفره. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you all. And I would like to welcome you in our last class for this series of explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, which took us over than a year. And by Allah's will, that we about to finish this book. And this is the tape number 12 for album 6. So this is the final and the last tape for this book, inshallah. And approximately we have about 20 hadith more to finish, and after this inshallah we be starting a new book by Allah's will. And today we have a new chapter, which in page number 537, and this is chapter number 6, Babu Zikri wa Dua, remembrance of Allah and supplications. Starting today with hadith number 1332. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى أنا مع عبدي ما ذكرني وتحركت بي شفتاه. Again, يقول الله تبارك وتعالى أنا مع عبدي ما ذكرني وتحركت بشفتاه. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is authentic, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that Allah is the Most High is saying, I am with my slave servant when he remember me, and his lips move with my remembrance. The hadith is authentic. So this hadith encouraging us to remember Allah, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, kids are upstairs playing with the microphone switch. Please, parents, if you can keep eye on your children. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that Almighty Allah, he will be with his slave. He will be with him in his assistance, with his mercy, will be him watching over him, giving him his needs and his wants. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you, indeed you have everything with you, even if you have nothing else. And if Allah is not with you and you have everything else, you have nothing in actuality. So for those who need Allah's assistance and need Allah's guidance, and they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them, to remember Allah. Remember Allah by always keeping Allah in their mind, in their hearts, to understand that Allah is watching over you, and also remembering Allah by mentioning His name, and when you move your lips with it. So it's not only a thoughts rhyming in your mind. For you to get the reward and the reward to be recorded, you need to move your tongue and your lips with the name of Allah by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or saying Salah ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, O Allahumma ghafirli, O Allah forgive me. All these things, reciting the Quran, okay, all these things is the remembrance of Allah, that you always keep Allah in your mind, keep Allah in your heart, that the dearest things to be for you, that you always talking about Him, mentioning His name. And one form of da'wah, one form of remembrance of Allah is the da'wah to Allah. You're inviting the people to Allah to get to know Allah, and teaching the ilm, like what we're doing to now, this is dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The next hadith, which is hadith number 1332, وعن معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عمل ابن آدم عملا أنجى له من عذاب الله من ذكر الله. سبحان الله, الله أكبر. ما عمل ابن آدم عملا أنجى له من عذاب الله من ذكر الله. سبحان الله. معاذ, may Allah reported, may Allah be pleased with him, reported. Do you know where is the page? Okay. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, reported this hadith, and the hadith in the collection of Ibn Abi Shayba and the Tabarani, and the hadith is hasan, it is good. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that son of Adam could not be doing any deed which he rescue or save him from the punishment of Allah better than the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. So that means the best deed that you will do to save you from Allah's punishment is the remembrance of Allah. Okay? The wrath of Allah or the punishment of Allah, that a person have different ways and different means to avoid the punishment of Allah. And one of the best means for you to save yourself from the punishment of Allah is to remember Allah. Because when you remember Allah, you be in Allah's protection. When you remember Allah, you will be in Allah's protection. So you be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to understand that we need Allah's assistance, we need Allah's help, we need Allah's protection, and to get this protection is by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any of the means that we had mentioned. The next hadith, And in actuality, in actuality, the remembrance of Allah is something very, very important, okay? And every kind of worship or obligation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a limit for it, okay? As example, the five time prayers, okay? The daily prayer, you're supposed to pray at least five times a day. The Hajj, you're supposed to make at least once in your life. The fasting of Ramadan, you fast the whole month of Ramadan. But the remembrance of Allah has no limitation. Okay? This one of the obligations that Allah commanded us, but He didn't put a limit for it. That means this is one of the most beloved things by Allah, to remember Allah. So if you can remember Allah day and night before the day, this is the best thing that you ever can do. As long as you're saying Allah His name, remembering Allah, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you and assisting you and helping you and guiding you. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما جلس قوم مجلسا يذكرون الله فيه عليكم السلام ورحمة الله إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة وذكرهم الله في من عنده أخرجه مسلم. This hadith 1334, the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. So the hadith is authentic, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever a people gathering for the remembrance of Allah, and if they do so, that the angels will come and surround them. You see, the angels will come and surround them, and the mercy of Allah will cover and shower them, will come on them. And what else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention their name in those who with him, al-mala' al-a'la, the angels. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mentioning your name. Allah will be talking about you highly with the creation that in the heaven, which is the angels. Okay, and this shows you again how important and how rewarded the zikr, okay, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you sit together to remember Allah, the angels will come and be around you, okay? And if you are surrounded by the angels, there is no evil, there is no shaitan, there is no hatred, rahmukallah, okay? And the rahmah, when is the rahmah coming, mercy is coming, could not be punishment there, okay? Would be a forgiveness. And what else? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about you. Okay, like one of us will be happy that the teacher will talk about him, or the dean or whatever it is, they put their name there in the bulletin board that he's doing good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be talking about you. Like, look to this person, he's remembering me. وعنه, that means from the same narrator, which is Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قعد قوم مقعدا عليكم السلام لم يذكروا الله فيه ولم يصلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا كان عليهم حسرة يوم القيامة. Okay, so now we just mentioned about the importance of when we sit to remember Allah. Now see the seriousness of sitting in a place and you don't remember Allah. Okay? That means in every gathering that you said, whenever we gathering, it have to be one of our main concern and our main talk is to talk about Allah, or uttering Salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see? So this shows you that mentioning the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send the peace and the blessing of it, on him, is part of the zikr. And the second thing, it shows you the necessity that all your gathering have to consist of the remembrance of Allah. Otherwise, what's going to happen? This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is authentic. If people sit in any assembly in which they did not remember Allah or invoke blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be a cause or grief of grief to them on the day of judgment. You see, if you sit any place in any gathering and is no Bismillah, is not Subhanallah, is not Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, now this gathering you will be paying a penalty for it in the day of judgment, will be against you, will be a grief and sorrow for you in the day of judgment. Okay? Yeah. This matter is very serious. And from this hadith we see the necessity of mentioning the salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also we learn about the virtues of sending peace and blessing on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith shows us the greatness and the most honorable gathering are the gathering which you remember Allah in it, and also shows you the worst kind of gathering is the gathering that you don't mention Allah's name in it. We learn from this hadith that we should be concerned about our time. We don't waste our time in idle talk. قِيلَ وَقَالْ وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ. Huh? This is not supposed to be the attitude of the Muslims. Okay, من حسن إسلام المرء ترك ما لا يعني. يجلس الإنسان يتكلم فلان سوى فلان راح وفلان سوى وإيش صار وفلان وليه فلان وليه علان. Huh? هذا ما من أخلاق المسلمين. المسلم حريص على الوقت ويحاول أن يضع وقته في شيء ينفعه في يوم القيامة أو ينفعه في هذه الدنيا. أما قيل وقال وقثرة السؤال ما راح تفيد، ويدخل الإنسان بعد كده في الغيبة والنميمة والعياذ بالله، وبعدين تصير مشكلة عليه في يوم القيامة. وعن أبي أيوب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، بيده الخير يحيي ويميت، وهو على كل شيء قدير، 10 مرات كان كمن أعتق 4 أنفس من ولد إسماعيل. أجين. وعن أبي أيوب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، بيده الخير يحيي ويميت، وهو على كل شيء قدير، 10 مرات كان كمن أعتق 4 أنفس من ولد إسماعيل. متفق عليه. The hadith reported by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. There's a Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whosoever say La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, wahdahu, alone, no partner to him. To him is the kingdom and the praise. In his hand is all the good. He gives life and causes death, and he is able to do all things. Say this 10 times. He said how many times? 10 times you be rewarded as if you are had free 4 people from the son of the Prophet Ismail. So imagine that a person is captive, is a slave, and you go pay money to free this slave. How much reward it is? But this is not any slave, is saying as if they are from the noble tribe, the prophet Ishmael alayhi salam, and this some from his generation, and they are in captivity, and you go and you pay money to free them. Subhanallah. You see, not only one, you be equal freeing four slaves, four human beings, he gives them freedom. And all this for what? For 10 times of saying this dua or this zikr. How much will take you? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? But look how much is the reward. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this ummah almost like free blessings for nothing. He sit down and he says this for 5 minutes, now you get such a great reward. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. What to say? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. 10 times, 10 times. How many times you say it? 10 times. At your convenience. You're riding, you're walking, you're in the train, you're in the airplane. Okay? At night, at evening, whenever that you want, say it, you get such great reward. Hadith 1337, wa alaykum salatullah, wa an Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال سبحان الله وبحمده ما أتمر حطت عنه خطاياه وإن كانت مثل زبد البحر. حديث متفق عليه. سبحان الله ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. أبو هريرة reported رحمة من الله. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, hadith which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic, that whosoever say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, 100 times, how many times bara? 100 times, what you going to say, Siddiq? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. What you going to say? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Okay, glory be to Allah with his praise. How many times bara? 100 times. What you going to say? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. That means glorify. I'm glorifying my Lord. That means Allah is above the nonsense that they describe to him, from equal, from partner, from sons, from fathers, from being manifested in other people or coming in a different form. Okay? Anything deficiency that somebody from Yahudi or Christians or Muslims that they attributed to Allah, we say what? Subhanallah. أي تعالى الله أي الله يتنزه عن ذلك وتعالى الله عن ذلك علوا كبيرا فأنت تقول سبحان الله أي تعالى الله عن ذلك. That mean أنزه الله, I glorify Allah, that Allah is above this that they talking about. Okay, وبحمده with his praise 100 times Allah will forgive his sins. Allah will forgive all his sins, even if they much as much as the foam of the sea. Subhanallah. You know, this is foam that be in the top of the. Can you imagine somebody have sinned that much? Huh? But let's imagine even that you have all this kind of sin with this little bit of remembrance of Allah, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, 100 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you such great forgiveness for all your sins, evil is that great. Why? Because there is nothing greater than Allah. There is nothing greater than Allah. And there is nothing bigger than Allah. And nothing is mighty to Allah. So Allah, His mercy and His compassionate is greater than even all the sins that you did, and He's willing to forgive it for you.
He didn't stipulate if it was major or minor.
No, it didn't. And He said it like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to forgive all your sins. Nothing mighty for Allah. Is His mercy. Is His mercy. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such great Allah. He is not the kind of God that, like they say, He have to sacrifice His own begotten son so for you to get a forgiveness. How you can sacrifice your own begotten son, the only son you got, and you going to go sacrifice him so you can forgive the sinner? What kind of compassion is this? What kind of forgiveness is this? What kind of justice is this? But our Lord Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His mercy, He will forgive us for uttering few simple words. It maybe doesn't take even 5 minutes or 10 minutes of your time. Now He'll forgive your sins for you. You come back again, Allah will come back again for you for forgiveness. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we thank Him. Last hadith inshallah for tonight, so we can prepare for Salat al-Isha. Hadith number 1338. وعن جويرية بنت الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد قلت بعدك 4 كلمات لو وزنت بما قلت منذ اليوم لوزنتهن سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضاء نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته أخرجه مسلم. Hadith is reported by Juwayriyah, which is one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. The hadith is authentic. The story that what happened, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left his house time of Fajr to go to make Salat al-Fajr. He came back after Ishraq, after sunrise. So this you're talking about 1.5-2 hours. Approximately. When he came back, he found his wife still sitting in the same spot and still saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, saying all these good words. He said, are you still sitting in your spot doing the same thing? Doing the same thing since I left? She said, yes. He said, for me, I said 4 words. Okay? I said after you 4 words. If it weighted in the mizan, in the scale of goodness and blessings, will be equal to all what you said. Okay? So there is some words in the remembrance of Allah greater than the others. You see? Some greater than the others, and some that you will get more reward than others. As example, like when you recite the Quran. For each letter, 10 blessings. Minimum. Okay? So for only saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you're getting 170 blessings at least, as example, okay? So there is words is more dearer to Allah, and more rewarded by Allah than others. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these 4 words, which is the meaning of it. Let me see if I can manage to read it in English. Otherwise I will tell you what it means in my English. Glory be to Allah with His praise, according the number of His creation, according what's pleasing to Himself, according the weight and the heaviness of His throne, and according the extension or the extent of His words. Let's see what's say in English. Since leaving you, I have said 4 phrases, which if weighted against all what you have said today, would to be heavier. Glory is to Allah and praise of Him, to the number of His creation, in accordance with His good pleasure, to the weight of His throne, and to the extent of His words. Oh, I was close. Alhamdulillah. You're praising Allah with the weight of His throne. And we could not imagine how great is the throne of Allah. And this needs a class by itself. We believe in a physical throne. Allah has a throne, as He said in the Quran 7 times. Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, the most beneficent, been established or rose above the throne. And all the things related to Allah will confirm it without knowing how. Okay? And the throne of Allah is so great that the chair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The kursi of Allah, the chair of Allah, extend over the heaven and the earth. This is the chair. The chair is bigger than the heaven and the earth together. Now in hadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. says that the chair compared to the throne like a small bracelet bangle that you put it in the middle of the desert. Can you imagine taking a bangle, take your watch and put your watch in the middle of a big desert? How you compare this small bracelet to the desert? It's no comparison, is it? So the chair of Almighty Allah, if you compare it to the throne, the chair, it will be like this, a small circle in the middle of a desert. Which is the throne is greater than the heaven and the earth. So how great is the throne? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So you're saying, I praise you Allah, and I glorify you Allah, equal to the weight and the greatness of your throne. O Allah, I praise you and I glorify you equal to the number of your creation. Wow. Subhanallah. Okay. O Allah, I praise you and glorify you until this make you pleased. And for a human being to come with the action really pleased to Allah, for Allah to accept it from you, is not an easy thing. You see, you have to have a good intention, you have to be good, you have to do it according the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these things, okay, it's not an easy job. You have to come with all this qualification for Allah to be pleased with you. Now he's saying, oh Allah, I glorify you and I praise you in a manner which make you pleased and happy. وَرِضَاءَ نَفْسِي وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِي ومداد كلماتي. Now, مداد كلماتي. The كلمات of Allah, and the words of Allah, and the order of Allah, all these things. How? He say, oh Allah, I praise you, and I glorify you, equal to the extent of your words. The Quran telling us, if all the trees on the earth turn to be pen, and all the ocean turn to be ink, and we start to write the words of Allah, what's going to happen? That all this ocean will finish, and you have to supply more ocean for ink to write the words of Allah. So praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him and glorify Him to the extent of His words, to the weight of His throne, to what Him make pleased with us. Ameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We continue tomorrow inshallah. Ahsan Allah jayik. Allah ahsan lil jayik. Inna alhamdulillah. أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله today we continue with our regular classes concerning explanation and authentication of the book بلوغ المرام attainment of the objective للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمة الله عليه. And today this is a continuation for the tape number 12, album number 6, which is the last tape for this series inshallah and the last one for this. And today we're dealing with page number 539 and hadith 1339. Hadith 1339 وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الباقيات الصالحات لا إله إلا الله وسبحان الله والله أكبر والحمد لله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i and Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the lasting good deeds are the uttering of no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Glory be to Allah. Allah is the greatest. Praise be to Allah, no power, no mighty except by Allah. This, the words, which is the blessings of it, and the reward of it, will be forever. The person will enjoy it forever for uttering these words. And the person by saying La ilaha illallah, confirming all lordship and all godship and all deity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and negating this from anybody else, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he above all the nonsense that man can describe to him, and that Allah is the greatest, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Next hadith, which hadith Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal qal rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahabbu al-kalam ila Allah arba' la yadurruka bi ayyihin bada subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illa Allah wallahu akbar. This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is authentic. And the hadith reported by Samura ibn Jundub, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the dearest phrases to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the speech is four sentences. Doesn't matter which one that you start with. And this is a Subhanallah, الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله. That this one of the dearest, the most beloved words to Allah. He says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And doesn't matter which one that you start with, that acceptable. The person says, Subhanallah first, or he said, Alhamdulillah first, or said, La ilaha illallah first, okay, is still acceptable. And is no harm in you by which one that you utter first or said the last, and all of them are loved by Allah. And that means the person who will say things which is dearest to Allah, he can be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also shows us the importance of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his remembrance to be available for us in very simple and easy phrases. Hadith 1341 عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عبد الله يا عبد الله ابن قيس ألا أدلك على كنز من كنوز الجنة لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله متفق عليه. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, should I inform you about one of the treasures of paradise, the Jannah, the uttering and the saying of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there is no mighty or power except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alaykum as-salamu. And this is kanz. And the kanz is the treasure, that all the good things that is hidden in it. So now that you be standing there on one of these kanz, now you be have access to all this goodness that in it. Okay? And this one which will be in Jannah, okay, that means as a result of using this phrase and saying these phrases many times, okay, as much as you can, this will be make you eligible to inherit these kinds or this treasure by getting such great reward. And it is very important then the person to understand what he's saying, that is not only a matter of saying this word, is believing and to understand really that there is no mighty or power except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means this will give you the reality and the correct understanding of La ilaha illallah. That is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That there is no power, there is no mighty. There is no will can be prevailing with the will of Allah. Okay? So the mashi'ah and the will is the will of Allah and the mashi'ah of Allah. And what Allah had decreed and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed will take place, not anything else. Okay? So the hawl and the mighty and the power of the people could not do anything with the mighty and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith, which in hadith number 1342 in page number 540, reported by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الدعاء هو العبادة. الدعاء هو العبادة. This hadith reported by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, and the hadith is authentic. This hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i fi al-Kubra, and Ibn Majah. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the dua is al-ibadah. Okay, al-dua is al-ibadah. Dua, supplication, calling in Allah, begging Allah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the ibadah. As if the whole Islam, the whole form of worship from salah and siyam and zakah became one thing. And this is like the essence of it, the most important thing. Okay? Why? Because in the dua, it shows your submission, your weakness, humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person doesn't go back except to the one who's greater than him, the one who have more than him. So for you to stand in this position of begging Allah, now you are performing the most important thing of Islam, because the whole Islam is about of you enslave you to Allah, to enslave you. So when you come in this position of ibadah, begging Allah and asking Allah, now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he giving example as if the whole Islam is nothing except this. And by doing this, now you get to know what it is, what you're supposed to be. Okay? The person who stretches his hand before his Lord, the person who stand before his Lord, asking him, begging him, okay? This is the ibadah. And as we understand, although that this is not the time to discuss it, but there is many prerequisite, or there is many conditions for the ibadah to be acceptable, okay? For the dua to be acceptable. And one of the main requirement for it is lawful income. Lawful income. Because a person can be making dua day and night, but he's eating from haram, forbidden income, is not going to be acceptable. You see? It's not going to be acceptable. So you be calling in Allah, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that this man who go on a long journey, begging Allah, raising his hand and say, oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, give me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, وَمَطْعَمُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُ حَرَامُ وَعُزِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How Allah will answer his call? Is this person eating from haram, drinking from haram, been sheltered by haram, and after this begging Allah, Allah is not going to answer a call of a person like this. The second narration, you should mark it as ضعيف, the one that said الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Okay, a dua, supplication, is the depth of worship, that this is not authentic. Okay, is da'if. The last narration in the same page, okay, is authentic. لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. There is nothing is more honorable before Allah than the dua. Okay. ليس شيء أكرم على الله من الدعاء. That means this is the way that you can approach Allah. Okay? And when you come to Allah with the dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accept you before, because this is the position that you show your weakness before Allah. And for you to come before Allah with the dua, now this is like the best way to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to beg Allah, regardless if this is in your salah or out of your salah. So the dua is not limited to any time. You see, most of the ibadah, or if it's not all the ibadah, limited by time or place. Okay, like fasting is ibadah, but you're fasting in Ramadan. You see, this is an obligation. The Hajj is ibadah, but it's